It is an honor to see you on this Father's Day weekend. We're going to aim to encourage dads today. Come on. We're going to aim to speak into their life today. But this is what I know, as we speak into dads' lives, fathers' lives, there's a word from our Heavenly Father for each and every one of us. You know, God's word is a timeless truth, and it has principles in it each and every day for each and every one of us. If we learn how to take that timeless truth about who God is and how he interacts with humanity and apply it to our life, we can experience the Heavenly Father's love in our life. And so I do believe every time God's word is spoken, there's a space and a place in it for each and every one of us in the uniqueness he has created us. And so today, as we talk about this Father's Day, we talk to fathers. Again, our prayer is that God would speak to every single one of us. If you're a dad in the room, hopefully you received a gift when you came in the door today. And if you hadn't, you can get it on the way out. We have a special gift for every dad that's here in the room with us today. And inside of that box you received, you should have received a little keychain like this, which is ultimately a compass. I'm going to invite you, if you're a dad today, to go ahead and get that out of the box. If you received that when you walked in today, and we're going to take a look at it together again. And if you didn't get it on the way in, get it on the way out. But we hope that as you take this away as a gift today, that it reminds you of something about who God's created you to be as a father here on the earth. But you know, what's so unique about a compass is a device that gives direction to us. It helps us whenever we're lost. And so I want every man in the room to pull the compass out, lay it in his hand flat, looking at it with me. And I want you to see where the N or north is pointed to on your compass, and for us all to point at that position together in the room whenever we get that position in our hand. So let's all point towards the north where it's leading us to. Come on, if you have that compass. Notice that most of the men are all pointing in the same direction. Right? That's really important. Because if we as men are going to lead this whole group of people to the $10 million that's over there at the north, we all want to be going in the right direction, right? Come on. So let's all point to the direction that north shows up on this device. Come on. And again, it's that way and not that way. And so today, what I want to speak to you men about is about being the device, the direction setter that God has created you to be for your families. God has created men and positioned men to set direction, to help people to discover when they're confused or lost. And so we can be a device to our families, to those around us, if we'll choose to follow God, our heavenly device in our life, when we choose to follow him as our compass, his word as our compass, then we can lead others to great success. But we have to be willing and submit to our great God in the direction he is truly leading us in, if we're all going to go in the same direction. Now, wouldn't it be amazing, just as we all pointed north a few minutes ago? And again, if there was $10 million over there and you knew it was north, you all would start walking towards that $10 million with us as we all started walking in that direction, if we knew that was the direction to go in. And just as we all pointed over there a few minutes ago, wouldn't it be an incredible thing if God got hold of men's heart and their true assignment of what he created them to be, And we all started walking in the right direction, following the leadership of our Heavenly Father. Come on, following that leadership. And everybody dropped in line and started following us in the direction that God was taking us. Could you imagine what this world would be like? It would be incredible. And all the confused people about who they are would begin to get on with who they are and living out their God-given potential. And so I do believe that God calls men to see the leadership role he has created them for, to begin to see it as a responsibility and not just a right. See, many people look at how God created them as a right they have when truly it's a responsibility they have. And if we take on the responsibility that God has created us for, we'll accomplish amazing things with our life. And those around us will benefit from that, the overflow of what God is doing. And the Bible says that God created us to lead, to make a difference, to partner with other people and pour in to the next generation. And so today we're going to talk about what that really means, how to be that direction-setting device for our families as men. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the very first verse in chapter 11, verse 1. The writer here says something remarkable about his responsibility. And he says it this way. Paul says it to the church at Corinth. He says, I don't just do what is best for me. He says, I don't do what is just best for me. I consider the environment I'm placed in is what he's saying. He says, I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. And then he goes on to tell the church at Corinth, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. And here he is speaking to, when I'm placed in an environment with people, I follow God, but I consider the environment I'm placed in. If I'm placed among Gentiles, those who aren't Jewish in this day and age, or if I'm placed in a context where there's a Greek culture, he says, I consider that. I don't just consider, you know what, the rights I have as a follower of God, I consider the responsibility I have to help connect other people to my Heavenly Father. I consider where they are, and I step into that to lead them to my Heavenly Father. And as I follow Christ, he says, you should take on this same notion, and you should follow me. As I imitate Christ, he says, you should imitate me. As I set direction for others, church, he says, you should follow me and also set direction. And so the Bible calls us to basically lead our families and help connect people to Christ and partner together in order to do that. And sometimes it can be difficult to be a father. Now, I'm not a father to as many of you are, but I'm a father to one earthly son. And I can tell you right now, with just the one son I've been entrusted with, sometimes as he grew up as a little toddler and then an elementary kid, and then he grew up as a high schooler, and he went on to young adult. He's 27 right now. And the days of leading him sometimes are difficult, but with God, all things are possible. And then God has given me the responsibility and entrusted me with many spiritual followers, many spiritual sons. And as I lead my one earthly son, God's given me a responsibility to step in and lead others and follow Christ with my life. And I don't get it right every single time, but to invite others to to fall in and follow me as I follow Christ, as Paul did, so that people can meet their heavenly Father. Why in the world would we want people to meet their heavenly Father? Because he is the perfect example of what fatherhood is all about. And we've all been shaped by a defiled picture of what fatherhood is all about, but we can step in and we can learn from him and we can lead to our full God-given potential and help others find a connection with their heavenly Father as we lean in as earthly fathers. And no one human gets it right all the time. Again, fatherhood can be difficult, but the reality of it is, if we can learn to follow the direction of God in our life and let him be the compass of our life, we can become the compasses to other people. So today, as a dad, I'm inviting you to step up and be who God's designed you to be. It's interesting because when you study the scripture, the book of Genesis gives the context of why God created human beings. And if you're not familiar with church, the book of Genesis is the first book in the Bible. But if you are familiar with church, you know that God created a man and a woman and placed them in the Garden of Eden, and they were perfect in every way. They had responsibilities. God created in his image both male and female, and then he gave them responsibility. And he put them together. Everybody say together. He put them together, and it says so that they could be fruitful and multiply. And I like to go ahead and add, permeate his presence in the earth, be fruitful and multiply, not to be overtaken by the earth that they were put in, but to govern the earth they were put in, and begin to pass that on to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And they were to work together at doing that. They both had responsibilities as a woman and as a man. They were to work together at presenting God to the world. And so our great God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this one true God, he deposits characteristics in men, and he deposits characteristics in women to represent fully who he is. And if we could learn to operate in who God says we are, if I'm a man, and operate in who God says I am, if I'm a woman, and we learn to do that together, then amazing things will begin to trickle down into our families and into our culture and change things. So many people wonder why the world's so confused right now. Which way is up and which way is down? But you know, God's word can set that direction for us. And if we'll choose to follow it with our life, then things could change. And I believe they could change for the better. And I believe that people could discover that God has designed them with a unique purpose to do amazing things in this earth all the days of their life. But we are going to have to step up as men and be who God's designed us to be. The Bible says he created the first man and the first woman in the garden with certain responsibilities. But by the time you get to Genesis 3, we see that they didn't follow through with their responsibilities. The Bible says that they missed the mark. They missed the mark of God's glorious standard. The biblical word we use for that is they sinned against God. They didn't follow through with who God made them to be. And the wheels came off and confusion came in. But the good news is this, you know what? What they got wrong in the garden, Jesus came to lead us out of that and make everything right. Come on. I like to say it this way, Jesus came to reverse the curse. And I want to show you where Adam got it wrong in the garden. He didn't step up. He didn't become the compass. He didn't become the leader. He didn't become the one to set the direction they should walk in. He just sit passively instead of being proactive in who God called him to be. And you know what? Then the wheels begin to come off of humanity. Let me show it to you. It's found in Genesis 3, verse 6. It says that the enemy came in and tempted the woman. And the Bible says the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit, she ate it, and then she gave some to her husband who was with her, standing right there with her, and he ate it too. Now, see, God didn't call that man to sit passively and watch this happen. As a matter of fact, God had given a responsibility to the man before the woman was ever created. And he said, you know what? You are to tend to this garden. And he says, there's going to be one tree in the middle of the garden you shall not eat from. And then God created the woman. So God actually gave a command to the man not to eat from that tree, but he chose to passively sit and watch the woman eat from the tree that God specifically said, you're not to eat from. And you know what? That's what we call it, a passive approach to your assignment. He was with the woman. God said, don't eat from the tree. She wasn't even created yet. And God said, don't eat from the tree. He didn't pass on this incredible news and give direction to his family. And the woman, you know what, stepped in, saw something that looked delicious. The enemy was able to tempt her, and she fell, gave some of the fruit to him, and he ate it too as he stood there passively and went against what God had said. See, God called us to not go against what he said. He calls us to follow him to the best of our ability as he comes in and makes us in a right relationship with him through Christ Jesus. And though Adam got it wrong, I'm here to declare to you today, Jesus came so you didn't follow the ways of Adam, but you followed the ways of Christ, and you step fully in it, and you become who he's designed you to be. Come on. He came to reverse the curse, but you got to believe him. You got to trust him. He came to forgive you. He came to deposit his spirit in you, to lead you away from a sinful lifestyle so you could set the direction for all those around you. And Jesus is basically what the Bible refers to as the second Adam. He's the one to come to help you get it right. But you've got to be willing to follow Christ, as Paul says, and invite others to follow you as you follow him. I'm not here to follow Adam. I'm here to follow Christ. And the Bible says that Christ is just the opposite of Adam. I want to show it to you in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It says this. It says, for husbands, this is after Christ came, after he gave his life on a cross, after he defeated death, rose from a grave, and ascended back to heaven. Paul writes the church at Ephesus, and he says, here's the deal. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, he says, for husbands, he says, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. That's a remarkable thing that he writes here in Ephesians chapter 5, because what it gives us light into, it's Christ didn't passively sit and watch. He took a proactive position, and he stepped up, and he loved anyway, in spite of what was going on in the world. And he did something. He did something. He took initiative. I need you to get that in your heart. He wasn't like Adam. He didn't passively sit and watch people in their sin miss the mark of God's glorious standard. He stepped up to the plate and he did something. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Whoever chooses to believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He took initiative. I need you to know today that your creator is an initiative, a God of initiative. He's a God that says, look, don't just sit and watch. Step up to the plate spiritually and do something. Don't just watch the wheels come off. Do something. Eve, you know what? God said, this ain't the direction. We ain't doing it. I know it looks delicious. So does a lot of other things. Pumpkin pie looks delicious. But the reality of it is we ain't operating by what it looks like. We're operating by what God has said. And we've turned away from just looking at stuff. And we've repented of that. And we're following Christ to the best of our ability. Why don't you follow me as I follow Christ? It's a responsibility. But too many men look at being a father or a husband as a leadership right instead of a responsibility. And whenever we look at that role as being a right instead of a responsibility, what happens is rebellion begins to set in. So how do we step up spiritually into our households? How do we become the spiritual heroes? Because everybody's looking for a hero. How do we become the spiritual heroes in our family, in our world, in our society? We're not perfect, but how we can begin to do this and step up is you know, be a people of prayer. Men, we need to be men of prayer. Pray with your kids. And, you know, and though the rails come off of my own son's life to some extent, here's the deal. I can remember when he was knee high as a grasshopper, he couldn't even hardly understand English. I prayed over him every single night. And here was my prayer. God, give him the wisdom to do what is right, the courage to do it, even when it's hard. Come on. I prayed. I still pray today. Pray for your children, not just when they're hurting, but before they're ever hurting. Pray for your children. And I'm telling you, this is how you set the spiritual direction. And what happened is when my son got in a troublesome spot in his life, he turned to his heavenly father, not his earthly father, but he began to pray that God, would you come into my life? Would you step into this situation? Would you step into this moment? And I can tell you right now, his heavenly father, though I'm his earthly father, I demonstrated what it means to pray. He prayed and cried out to God, and God stepped in. Come on. It's what spiritual leadership looks like. Spiritual leadership reads God's word, gets its direction from God's word, hides God's word in its heart. So when you get in trouble from situations, you may not know how to do everything, but you know how to call on the name of the Lord. And you know what the Lord has said in his word that he'll do. And you call on those promises in those troublesome moments. And you hide that word in your heart and you teach people how to do this. And again, that's how you begin to lead spiritually. Pray, read your Bibles, sit in worship. Learn to help your children learn what it means to repent. Let them hear you say, I failed. I missed the mark. And you know what? But I didn't let that keep me down. I repented. You know what repent means? That means to, I, I was going in this direction. I was going south if we're looking at that compass, but I took a different direction and I turned my heart towards Christ and I'm headed north. I'm not headed in that direction anymore. I may not get it right every step of the way. I may get off the path, but I'm here to declare to you today, I am a person who can repent of my sin, and I did it once for the forgiveness of sin to Christ Jesus, but I do it daily. I don't repent daily so I can go to heaven again. I'm in. Jesus did the work for me. Come on. I'm in. I repent daily because I need God's spiritual direction in my life daily. And I'm human just like you. I screw it up. But in reality, I know the one to turn to. And I'm able to step up to the plate in my current role as a leader of a local church because I repent often. And you know what? It's a hard thing to say, I got it wrong. But in reality, when we can say that to our children, it helps them understand how to get it right and not just get it wrong. Step in to who God says you are. Step up to who God says you are. Here's another way to step up. Set goals. Set boundaries. You need to create some boundaries for your kids. Your kids don't run things. You run things. And in not such a way that in reality that it hurts them, but you got to set. A football player don't know how to score a touchdown if he don't know where the boundaries are. I'm here to tell you, your kids cannot score in life if they don't have boundaries and they don't have a goal in mind. It's to follow Christ, but it's to say, listen, that's out of bounds. And it don't mean you spank them every time they go out of bounds. Sometimes you need to. But the reality of it, good leadership sets boundaries and say, look, this is where you're getting it off track. Get back in the bounds and let's go to the end zone. And so if you really want to step up and be proactive and not be passive, begin to put these things into your kids. And then as your kids take them on, they'll begin to follow Christ as you follow Christ. But I want to give you one word of wisdom today. And if you don't receive anything else, I say today, I need you to know that as a father, sometimes kids make bad decisions. Your responsibility is to lead as you follow your heavenly Father. Step up and lead. And you're responsible for yourself, how you follow Christ. But you can only influence those who are around you. It's one of the biggest things you can ever learn in your life. You're responsible for your own actions, but you can only influence those around you. And sometimes people will make bad decisions underneath your influence, but you have to step up anyway, and you have to continue to go the journey and be proactive and not be a passive. The next thing I wrote down is this. We have to step out, not only step up. See, Adam didn't step out, but Jesus did. Let me show you what I mean. In Genesis 3, verses 7 and 8, as the woman sinned against God and the man sinned against God, the Bible says at that moment their eyes were open and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. Understand, the enemy wants to flood you with shame. And the Bible says, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool of the evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife, they heard the Lord God walking about in the garden who they were to be in relationship with. The Bible says, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. They hid. They stepped behind some fig leaves and they hid from God instead of stepping out with God in their in their life and in their shame. Repenting of their sin and moving forward with whatever they were to move forward with. And where we get a lot of times in our relationships and in our relationship with God is sometimes we hide. But if we're going to follow Jesus instead of follow Adam, understand that Jesus stepped out of heaven and gave his life. It says it this way in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. He gave his life. Why? It says right here to make her his church, make her holy and clean and wash her by the cleansing of God's word. So the Bible compares Jesus to the husband and the church as the wife. And the Bible says that Jesus steps out of heaven so that the church can be clean, can be washed by the word, and they can move forward with their life. In other words, Jesus brought truth to the world. He didn't hide. He brought truth to the world. But the Bible also says in John 1:14, the word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, and he came from the Father full of grace and truth. And what I want to say in this point I'm making today is we have to step up, have to step out in hard situations, in conflict moments to bring truth in those conflict moments to begin to set things right again. It took courage for Jesus to do what he did. And the Bible says how he begins to cleanse this bride is to wash her with the word and help her become everything that she's designed to be. And so what this tells me is Jesus didn't just come and step out of heaven to forgive her. He came so he could begin to pour into her, pour into us. I'm the bride. You're the bride. To pour into, to wash us how? With the word of God. And this is what we're to do as leaders. We're to wash people. We're going to follow Jesus. We're to wash our families with the word of God. Begin to teach them what it says about being a man. Teach them what it says about being a woman. Teach them what it says about being in right relationship with God. And it's teaching this truth. And though sometimes, you know what, you cause a little conflict when you bring the truth of God's word, come on. And you do it with grace, not with a condemning spirit, come on. But you do it with a heart of God's unmerited favor. So what is the grace of God? It simply means the unmerited favor of God, but the grace of God is sufficient for every circumstance and every situation. It means that he is sufficient to forgive you. He's sufficient to sustain you. He's sufficient to give you his spirit in you. He's sufficient to give you his word to wash you and cleanse you. God will do what he says he's going to do, and he'll step into any conflict, and he'll wash you with the word, but he is full of grace. And he is full of truth. Full of both. Some people take this and they begin to talk about, well, just show me grace. Let me do whatever I want to do. That's not what grace is. Grace is empowerment. The grace of God is empowerment. And the grace of God came through Christ Jesus into this world. And the grace of God, you know what, the unmerited favor of God died on that cross to forgive you of your sin. But the grace of God was poured out at Pentecost. It's called the Holy Spirit, and he is living in you so you can become a better. For the grace of God that brings salvation to all men. The grace of God is the unmerited favor of God to help you step in the right direction and be all he's designed you to be. Come on. It's not just forgiveness. It's speaking truth when it's hard. And the grace of God, when Jesus came full of truth and full of grace, he stepped in and he said some hard things. When culture was saying one thing, sometimes Jesus was saying something different. When it didn't align with the Creator and who God is, Jesus stepped in the middle of that. And he would basically say in today's culture, You're not to be whatever you want to be in your head. You're to be who God created you to be in this world. And I am here to declare that God created you to be something. It's not every person for themselves. It's every person underneath the leadership of a great God who created them for success. And we have to bring this truth. We have to, not with a condemning spirit, but if God created you to be a woman, be a woman. If God created you to be a man, be a man. Step into it. Come on. Confusion. The enemy wants to confuse things. But we have to teach that we are people who walk by faith towards the destiny that God has for us. And we got to bring this truth into this world, not with a condemning spirit, but with a spirit that says, I want you to know this same God I know. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm getting new direction from the Holy Spirit. I'm following Christ. Would you follow me as I'm following Christ? I'm not doing this to leave you behind. I'm doing this to help you get on board with who God says you are, and let's move forward. Come on. It's not standing with a pointed finger and say, you're going to hell today. It's not that way. That's not the heart of God. God didn't create you to send you to hell. God created you to know who you are and to know who He is and walk fully in it all the days of your life. He created you for a significant purpose. Step in or step out. And then the last thing I wrote down is, we're going to be the leaders God created us to be. We're going to be the compass, not just sit on the couch, because you can leave this on the couch and it don't bring direction to anybody. We have to step in. Step in. What is stepping in? Stepping in is speaking this truth with grace, but it's also, it's beginning, instead of smothering people and saying you can't and God won't forgive you or whatever else, it's bringing a truth of, it's bringing a truth of protection, being a provider. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Adam didn't do this. Look what he says. Genesis 3, verses 11 and 12. God asked him, who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? He asked them this. And then the man replied, it was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it. That's not stepping in. That's blaming others. And see, God gave the man the rule to not eat from a certain tree in the garden. The woman wasn't even created yet. But the man passively stands and watches this happen. He doesn't lead. He doesn't do what God created him to do together with the woman. And the Bible says, instead of protecting her and providing for her and beginning to build her up in who she was to be, that he turns around and he blames her. Remember, Jesus came so it could begin to follow him instead of follow the ways of Adam. And Jesus does just the opposite. He doesn't blame. Let me show you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, he said the reason he did what he did this to present to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemishes. Instead, she would be holy and without fault. So he didn't stand with a pointed finger. He came and died on a cross and gave his life's blood so that he could begin to say, look, the reason I came wasn't to blame her. It was to step in and create and make her into all she was designed to be. It goes on to say there in Ephesians chapter 28 or chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, it says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. Jesus is he's the protector and the provider for the church. He's the protector and provider for the church. He steps in and he saves us with his blood. And then what he does is he provides a way for us to the Heavenly Father. He provides an avenue for us to the Heavenly Father. He washes us with his word to give us a direction. And he does this not to smother us, but he does this to help bring us warmth and protection. I like to say it this way. It's a lot like a blanket. You can use a blanket as something to throw over people's head and smother them to death. And the man isn't created to smother his family, to smother his wife, to smother his kids. The man is created to step in with the responsibility, not because it's a right, but with the responsibility, with the God-given design he has in his life. He is to step in and basically become this warmth, like a blanket, a covering for them, a protector for them. See, a blanket can be used to smother somebody or it can be used to cover somebody. And God calls us as the leader in his household to be a people to basically protect and provide in an environment to help them accomplish all God's called them to be, not to snuff them out. The Bible says it this way about Jesus in John 3, verse 17. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So God has called us as fathers, as men, to step in, to step out, and to step up to all he has created us to be. But the question is will you take on the responsibility? Will you begin to follow Christ, or are you going to continue to follow Adam? Who is going to be your leader? Who is going to be your direction setter? Who is going to be the one that you follow? See, Jesus stepped into our life to invite us into a relationship with him. And God actually steps into this situation and he's inviting the man to step into a relationship with him, but the man chose to hide behind a fig leaf. Look what it says in Genesis 3, verse 9. It says, the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And see, I believe that God's calling to men today through Christ Jesus and what he did on a cross for us as he rose from the grave. I believe that his Holy Spirit is here in this room today on that camera, touching people in their seat, touching their heart. And he's saying, where are you? Who are you going to choose to follow? Sir, where are you? Ma'am, where are you? What are you going to choose to do with your life? Are you going to choose to keep going in the wrong direction? Or are you going to let God step in and forever change the direction of your life? And as this day continues to move forward, you can't change a flipping thing about what has happened, but you can change everything about what is going to happen. Come on. The enemy wants to stalemate you. But Christ Jesus came to give you life and life to the full. I can't make the decision for you. I can influence you by bringing the word of God, trying to put it in a relevant way so you can grab hold of it and understand it. But friend, every single person has the responsibility to put their personal faith in who Jesus is and begin to follow him. I wish I could make it for you. But today, if God's tugging on your heart, the question is, are you going to step in and and be who he's created you to be. Whatever that next step looks like, maybe for you today, is today repent of your sin that you did yesterday. Maybe you've already been forgiven of all of your sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. He died once and all and for all on a cross for people's sin. But maybe you've just gotten off track. Maybe you've gotten way off track and you've gone in the wrong direction. I do believe that God is asking the same question to people today, men, women, boys, and girls. Where are you? I want you to come to me and trust me as I have stepped out of heaven and come to you. Let me pray for you today. God, I pray today that men would be the leaders that you've created them to be, that women would be the leaders you've created them to be. And God, we would learn to not compete with one another, but partner with one another to exhibit who you are in this earth. God, may we work together. You put the first man and the first woman in that garden together to reflect who you are to the world. And Jesus, as you have stepped in and forgiven humanity of their sin, may we get a proper understanding of who you've created us to be and begin to walk in it. Jesus, thank you for that forgiveness. If there is one here today or online behind that camera that has never accepted you as their Lord and Savior and ask you to come into their life and forgive them of their sin, God, may the day be the day that they receive your wonderful grace. My friend, maybe you want to say something like this. God, today I turn away from my sin and I believe that Jesus came to forgive me and get me on the right path. I trust that with my heart. I trust what Christ did. I trust in his resurrection and I want to follow him all the days of my life. Just tell God, thank you for salvation. Maybe you're in here today and you've gotten way off track and you need to repent and get turned back on the path and begin to follow Jesus. Just say, God, today I want to get back on the path. I want to turn away from sin. I want to follow you. I want to be who you designed me to be. God, I don't want to follow the ways of culture. I don't want to follow the ways of feelings, but I want to follow you, Jesus, by faith all the days of my life. Tell God, thank you for all of his goodness. Tell God, thank you for being an incredible heavenly father and a perfect example of what a father looks like. If you're in this room today and you're a father, and you're a leader, just ask God to step in and help shape you into a better leader, a better father, so you can be a reflection of who he is in this world, to begin to help the world become different. May all of our prayers be, God, may you allow us to bring up there, down here, by operating by the power of the Holy Spirit and being who you've designed us to be. God, may we have the courage to do it even when it's hard. God, we pray this today in the name of Jesus. Amen.